I'm going to give you just real three quick thoughts from 1 Chronicles chapter 12. It's going to be quick. It's going to be quick. And I'm not going to just monotone talk, okay? As you can already tell, I can't do that. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 33. 1 Chronicles 12, 33. Here is the various children of Israel. They are joining David on the battlefield, and they are saying, David, look here, we've got your jersey on. We're on your team, okay? We are loyal. And you'll see that, the various tribes mentioned, until it gets down to verse 33. It says, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle. This verse is a rhema for me. You know what a rhema is? There's two Greek words for the word word. There's logos, you guys are familiar with that, and rhema. By the way, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema. That's the Greek word right there. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the rhema. So rhemas are those verses that you may highlight or kind of jump off the page. They're personal faith-building verses. So I'm just sharing a rhema with you that God gave to me. But there's three things in this verse here. It says, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of a double heart. They were not of a double heart. When I noticed, when I was reading my Bible not long ago, we're reading through our Bible as a church, and we're keeping a calendar, and we're marking how many chapters we read every week and every month. We have a goal for every month, and our church was, we were in 1 Chronicles not long ago. I tell you, when I read that verse, it was a rhema. Three things I just got my attention about that verse. It says they were expert in war. That means they were experienced, they were trained, they were equipped. Now, I don't know about this side of the world, because I live over there. But for our church, for some people in our church, we have folks that some don't know how to fight, and then there's folks that don't know who to fight. You might have some folks like that over here. You know, if we want to learn how to fight spiritually, actually the Lord does the fighting for us. We do have the sword of the Spirit, okay, which is the Word of God. And we're responsible to get this book into our brain. And you guys know that. Memorize and meditate on the Word of God, of course. And you ought to study Ephesians chapter 6. You know what? One of our things in the spiritual battles, we just need to stand. We need to stand. The world is constantly trying to push, isn't it? I'm a pastor. And I have people come to church and they want to change our music. You know? You know, pastors feel this. Okay, and there's just a push, and they're pushing, and they're pushing, and they're pushing. And you know what? You have to just stand. You just have to decide, I'm going to stand. I'm not going anywhere. You know, if it's wrong, or if it's right, don't try to fix it, okay? I'm just standing, and we're going to stay conservative till Jesus Christ comes back, and we're not going to waver with the world. Stand. Some don't know how to fight. Some people don't know who to fight. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you know there's churches that are fighting against other churches? Do you know there's people in church that are fighting with other brothers and sisters? Can you believe that takes place? You can? Oh, we must have some sinners over here too, not just over in Russia. Yeah, yeah. I told my church, I'll tell you what I told them. I said, listen, folks, I'm not so concerned what Satan is going to do to our church in 2018. I'm more concerned what carnal Christians are going to do to our church in year 2018. I'm far more concerned. I said, don't come to this church and ministry in the flesh and react in the flesh, because you can almost guarantee it's going to be the wrong thing to say or do. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so you cannot do the things that you would. You can't do the things you would. We've got to be Spirit-controlled. It's so important. We got to know who we're fighting. We're not fighting against husband and wife. My wife, she, Lord bless her soul, she loves me. I mean, we after 24 years, we still got it. I'm just telling you, we got it. We are in love. We're tight. It's just awesome. Okay? She's my schnookums. I call her my schnookums. Okay? And, but, you know, she wants to try to help me And she believes most of the time, I just need more information. So my hubby will fix it. If I'll just tell him what he did wrong and how to do it right, then it'll fix the problem. Some of you men are laughing, okay? Because you know very well that that's probably not the best way in dealing with men. We just don't always need more information. Sometimes the man just needs to fall on his face. And just like, you know, as the Russians say, Dobre utro, good morning, you know? It's like, and the wife say, honey, I'm trusting you to take care of us. I'm sure you'll make the right decision. I'm trusting you. But my wife sometimes feels like she needs to just give me more information. You know, information. Just sitting right here, information. And what I have to remember is she is trying to love me. She's trying to help me. I filter everything through the filter. She loves me. You see? But Satan, the accuser of the brethren, wants to and turn husband against wife. You know what happens in homes and churches? These people get over here, the accuser of the brethren gets them fighting, and Satan says, yeah, keep it up. Okay, keep it up. I'm going to go over here and disturb some other people, mess up some other lives. And people are over there fighting and doing the devil's work for free.
That's right.
But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We need to know who to fight and how to fight. We need to pray that God will make us expert in war. Expert in war. Because this life is not a playground. It's a battleground. And what would you think about a soldier that was down in the foxholes and he was down there and he was just playing his video game? You know what I'm saying? You're not going to win a lot of wars that way, are you? Or in the foxhole, he said, that's my gun. What are you doing? You ate my food. You're sitting in my spot. What are you doing, pal? You know? Fighting against each other. But that's what's happening in the churches. Let's wake up. We're a family. Amen. We're a family. You need to say, God, fill my heart with love for everybody around me. I'm going to love these people. That's my family. That's one thing I so love about our church. You go to our church, boy, you just feel the love of Jesus Christ. It's a family. And I tell our church, I said, you know what? If you can't love these people in this church is not for you. I just tell them. I'm not worried about building a colossal church for Christ. I'm just saying this. I'm saying, if you can't love these people and you can't sit under this leadership of this pastor right here, I said, you're going to need to find another church. I said, because right here we're a family, we're a team, we're going to be unified. We're going to be one. That's what the New Testament had, didn't it? They were of one mind, of one spirit, okay? Of one accord, the scripture says. It makes a difference. It makes a powerful church. It makes a powerful church in your community when you're unified. We need to be expert in war. We need to know, secondly, we need to know how to keep rank. That speaks of organization and submission. Leadership training starts by being a servant. King David, boy, he was good. He was a good leader, wasn't he? King David, we just read his life. He's running from Saul. He's in a cave. Who's in the cave with David? Who's in the cave with David? You all know? This is the time when y'all can share. A bunch of rejects, right? in the world today, it had been outcasts. It had been people that were alcoholics or drug addicts or just had left their home, left their family, lost their job. They'd be the people that live in a cardboard box under the bridge. You know what I'm saying? Get the picture. That's the people in the cave with David. And what happened after a few years after they lived with David? He turned those guys into 40 mighty men. Why don't you try to turn around some of those guys? I'm telling you, it's a big job to get those folks turned around. And the statistics are not very large of people that get turned around. They just give up on life. But you know what? These men, they saw David, and he saw they saw that he had a purpose bigger than himself. And no doubt David taught them about the forgiveness that's with the Lord. And no doubt, as he sat on that field as a shepherd and wrote some of those wonderful psalms, he shared some of those psalms with those men. You see, David taught, he was a leader, but he taught with compassion. Because when you start on the low level, when you start on as a servant, that's where he started, as a shepherd. Not even the job of a child, but a job of a slave, of a servant. He started right there. And when he taught those men, he taught them with gentleness and compassion. Because he knew how it felt to be the low man on the totem pole. And that's why I told my kids, I said, you should never be a leader until you understand what it means to be a servant. David, boy, he knew how what it meant to keep rank. And then finally, the Bible says that we are, the children of Zebulun here, they were not of a double heart. They were not of a double heart. They were loyal. They were unified. They were dedicated. You know what I'm saying? Brother Tony, what's a double heart? Well, I'm glad you asked. Double heart would be the one who sings to Jesus or about Jesus on Sunday, but sings about something else on Monday. The double heart would be the one who expects one thing from a brother, from a sister, from a mate, or from a pastor, but expects something entirely different from themselves. A double heart would be one that hates sin on Sunday, but if you'll look at their television screen, you'll see pornography and cussing and perversion and filth throughout the week. If we brought that stuff into church and put it on there, we wouldn't stand for that. That wouldn't work. But it's accepted at home. I'll just tell you, I don't have much use for TV. I just don't have. And I realize that makes me a freak, okay? That makes me very strange. You know what? I'll get over it. I'll get over it. Because when I come to church, I feel like singing. And I want to rejoice in the Lord. And I have the joy of my salvation. I've been in churches. I go to a lot of churches, let me tell you. I've been in churches, and at this point, it's mostly supporting churches. And sometimes the singer, the man leading the singing, it's like raising the dead. I'm serious. And I'll just give you a little hint. The more you jam up the music, the more dead they are. Right. I'm telling you, I've been there, okay? I've been to the churches. I've saw it all over the country. That's just the way it is. That's just a little free insight. I didn't charge anything for that. A double heart. A double heart is when you are going through your wallet and it's the offering time and you see a $20 bill or a $50 bill and you think, offering time, ooh, that's a lot. That's a lot. Okay, so you give something less. But you go to the mall, you know, you go to Walmart and $20, oh, that ain't much. It's not so much. In the store, but in church, it's a lot. A double heart. Be not of a double heart. David Livingston, great missionary of yesteryear, somebody wrote him a letter one day and they said, Brother Livingston, have you found a good road to get where you're at now? And he said, he wrote back, if you have men who will only come because we have a good road, he said, I don't want them. He said, I want men who will come if there's no road at all. And David Livingston, I believe David Livingston was interested in servants that were not of a double heart. And I got an idea the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in servants and in Christians who as well are not of a double heart. Could you consider yourself an expert in war, spiritual warfare? If not, why don't you ask the Lord to make you an expert? Some of you got kids, you got grandkids, they need you. They so desperately need you to be an expert in war, to help them on this journey. They don't know. They don't know what to do next. Some people don't know what to do with these devices. We got this technology. It dropped in our lap. And it's like, how do you control it at home? What do you do? By the way, when I was home last year, I went on a wisdom trip and seeking answers in this matter of how to tame the devices in our homes. And God helped us, gave us some wisdom. But you know what? You have children. You have grandchildren in your life. They need you to be an expert in war. Ask God to make you an expert on it. Ask us. I ask you today, do you know how to keep rank? Do you know how just to submit to your authorities? God directs our lives to our authorities. We just need to submit and say, Lord, direct me. I'm going to trust you to work through him. I'm going to trust you to direct me through my leaders. I'm going to trust you to be just to take control of my life. We've got to know how to keep rank. We've got to know how to be a servant. And number three, ask the Lord to give you a heart that's not divided in any way. That's the same Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Always the same. Always loyal to Jesus Christ. Is that your heart? If it's not, let's make it our prayer from this day forward. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Stand with me for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you so much. It's a light to our path. Lord, thank you for being the God that loves sinners. Lord, for giving the church a plan. Most importantly, giving the church the man, the Christ man, the God man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, you've given us a responsibility to take this gospel to Africa, to Russia, to Volusia County. And Lord, some of us, we're not doing so good, not doing so well in our war at home, wars in the church, conflict in our hearts. Father, I pray you'll give the victory today. And I pray you'll find in this church some people that have a pure heart. Father, would you use us? Would you help us? Would you give revival? Would you use this message to make a difference in our hearts and in our lives? Lord, we're asking you, we're trusting you for it. And we thank you. We thank you that your ways are perfect. We thank you that we can trust you with our life. We're grateful, Lord, we can trust you with our burdens, that we can cast those burdens on you. Lord, so many things. If any man lack wisdom, you said, let him ask of you, and you'll give it. But don't ask wavering. Lord, we've got to ask without a double heart. And so, Father, give us wisdom on how to serve you. Give us wisdom on how to be expert in war. Father, give us dedicated soul winners. Maybe you'll raise up a missionary from tonight, Lord. You may be speaking to somebody already. We need more missionaries in Africa, in America, in Russia. We need more missionaries. Lord, raise them up. Raise them up, I pray. We're trusting you for it, Lord. And we're thanking you. We ask it in Jesus' name.